cámara, so I had a little vision, and it was a field, all right? I see this field, and there's some weeds, all right? And then I saw, like, the weeds being cut from the top, right? To kind of pull it, but not completely pull. The roots stay. And then I saw a hand, I believe it was the hand of the Lord, just literally pulling each one of the weed by the roots. And so then it stopped. I didn't see anything else. I just want you to ponder on it, because I believe it's the Lord showing this. And sometimes what I understand is that sometimes we're dealing with things in our life. It just be bitterness, unforgiveness, I don't know, right? Fill the blank. Confusion, rejection. And sometimes we just kind of dismiss it a little bit, or we think we're dealing with it, but it takes a little bit more than that. So you need to really seek the hand of the Lord. If you can relate to this, there's areas in our life from the past and even the present that the Spirit of the Lord wants to pull them by the root. Amen. And for that, you just need to allow the Spirit of the Lord to really minister to you as you pull those things, so it will not grow back again. Amen. And so if you find yourself dealing with the same thing, the same attack, if you find yourself over and over, like, man, I can't believe I'm here again. Why am I here? It could be, right, that the roots are still there, and you need to go visit that place again and make sure that it's completely pulled. But you can't do it on your own. Amen? I just saw the hand of God doing it. So sometimes we just need to submit to that. So, Father, I seal this word, Father, and everyone that can relate to this, and I pray that by your Spirit, my Lord, that you help pull out those root of bitterness or the root of a misunderstanding, oh Lord, rejection, whatever it is, Lord, that the enemy keep on springing out in our life and that defeat us, Lord. So we come against that in the name of the Lord, and we ask you, Lord, that by your Spirit, you will show us so we can dig it out in the name of the Lord. No matter how painful it might look, we want those weeds out in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for it. Amen.
Was good. Yay. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, for their show of appreciation, Father. And I pray that, Father, when the time comes, we can, as you ask us, we will be able to give a great report about those that you put under this authority, Father, here in this house. And now I pray, Father, that as we talk about your word and your principles, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, heart to retain and apply. And Father, I thank you for the clarity of your word and for touching our hearts by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I'm going to preach an hour today because I didn't have time last time. Today I'll be discussing the subject of obedience. I thought it was for last week, but obviously it wasn't. So if you're here, this is for you. You know, the subject of obedience can be a touchy one at times. For the most part, I have been sort of a person that likes to comply with whatever I'm asked to do or to say or to or not to do. Usually I like to comply. But I have had my streaks of disobedience throughout my life in different stages, different times. I remember, you know, and it's funny that I can remember this that far back. Because it's far back. When I was about 3 or 4 years old, you know, we lived out in the farm, out in the country in Puerto Rico, and lots of clay, lots of rain, you know, in the eastern side of the island, there's always rain, and so there's mud all over, you know, at certain times of year. And I did something wrong. I can't recall what I did, what I did wrong, but I know my mom said, you know, she went to the kitchen and got her switch and said, "You're gonna get it, boy." I honestly, I don't remember what I did, but I knew it was coming to me. And for the first time, I said, "I am going to run away from her. She's old, I'm very young, and I can run fast." So I decided to disobey her, and I decided to run outside. I was with shorts, barefooted, no shirt. And as soon as I went outside, there was clay, floor, the ground was wet, and I slipped, fell down on my face in the clay, and that's the time she caught up with me. Well, that switch worked on my back. And there, the proverb was proven accurate that says, well, let me cancel this up here. There's a proverb, if this thing works, come on. There you go. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Boy, did it do a number on me. That rod of correction, I never ran away from my mom again. That was a very painful lesson that I learned. And I always appealed to mom's forgiveness rather than her correction. You know, there's a secular definition for the word obedience. They define it as obedience is when an individual acts in response to a direct order from another individual who is usually an authority figure. And they say it is assumed that without such an order, the person would not have acted in that way. So basically what they're saying is that obedience occurs when you are told to do something by an authority and you do it. If you don't do it, that's called disobedience, right? So we're talking about obedience today. However, I want to point out at the start that obedience to the wrong authority can be disastrous to many people. In the 1940s, there were 6 million Jews killed by Hitler's hand between 1941 and 1945 out there in Europe. You know that Hitler alone couldn't have killed 6 million people, not by his own hand. In fact, not by a small group of people. So the question is, what made all those followers of Hitler follow those orders that were given them? Were they afraid? Was there something in their personality that made them act like that? To kill 6 million innocent people just because somebody said needed to be done, no questions asked. You know, the Bible has much to say about obedience. In fact, if you're a Christian, obedience is an essential part of a Christian life. Jesus himself modeled it. When the scripture says that he was obedient to die, even the death of a cross, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, and being found in appearance as a man, that's Jesus, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. So, if Jesus is our guide, he gave us an example for us to be obedient. Even when it hurts. For Christians, the act of taking up our cross and following Jesus means obedience in our part. In Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In other words, be obedient to the things I'm calling you to do. And then also, Jesus said that we show our love for him when we obey him in all things. He said in John chapter 14, something that we read very quickly, but we don't really ponder or think about the depth of what he's saying. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, we love you, Jesus, but I don't know if I want to do. Well, then by that definition, then you don't. You don't. A Christian who is not obeying Jesus' commands can rightly be questioned by Jesus himself. In fact, he did that at one time. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, he said to the crowd, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Again, saying, you say you want to follow me, but you don't want to obey the things that I tell you to do. When we say commandments, the word speak of the scriptures in which God has clearly delineated his instructions to each one of us. He is the one in authority. We look at the definition, and usually when we're obedient to one in authority. Well, there's no higher authority than God himself. So he is the one in authority, and his authority is total and indisputable. You know, we try to argue with God. God, you know, there's a better way than this. Well, he knows best. For the Christian, though, obedience means complying with everything God has commanded. It is our duty to do so, because when we gave our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, we made a covenant with him, and we say, we'll follow you. Wherever you lead, we will follow. We'll be obedient. We promised, didn't we? And in our Christian walk, we have come to understand that God knows what's best for us. And so sometimes it doesn't quite make sense what God is asking us to do, but because we know his character already, then we say, well, I don't understand, I don't fully understand, but I am going to be obedient to what you're asking me to do. So, you know, we realize that he made us with a plan and a purpose, and that all his plans and purposes are good for us, but he requires our cooperation. You know, he will not force it upon us. We have to be willing vessels that would submit to him. And how does God require a cooperation, you may ask? Well, he sent his Holy Spirit to indwell every one of us who have given our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us into all things, all truth. But again, you know, as a shepherd walks in front, the sheep that want to be followers, they are obedient to the path that the shepherd is leading. But the shepherd is not in the back, herding him, forcing them to follow. You know, following means you go ahead, right? When somebody follows you, that means you have to be in front and they follow you willingly. So the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us, but also he speaks and reminds us of things that have already probably been given to us and we have not paid much attention. You know, things like, You know, we need to you need to forgive that person that you are so bitter and angry with. You need to extend some mercy. And we heard that the first time. Said, no way. No way, not me. After what they did. Holy Spirit will be there reminding us you need to. It's for your own good. Or the Holy Spirit may say to us, you are killing your own body with what you're doing to it. I know I've heard that before. And I am trying to bring my body into subjection. That's the way, one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul fasted so often. He wanted to bring his body into subjection. It wasn't necessarily that fasting would make him so spiritual, you know, that he had visions and dreams. No, he was just teaching, training his body to mind what the Spirit of God was asking and what his own spirit wanted to follow, and yet the body would reject and rebel. I am going to have that ice cream no matter what you say about the calories. No, we have to tell our body, I am going to have a spoonful and that's going to be it. No. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, when was the last time you read my word? When was the last time you discovered how much I love you by reading my love letters to you? That hurts. And one last example, which one I am guilty about. The Holy Spirit reminds me and he tells me, stop trying to do everything on your own strength. Ow. There's an amen right there. The Holy Spirit tells me, ask me for help. You don't have to do everything on your own strength. I have the resources and the wisdom and the knowledge. But no, we want to do things the way we think, with our strength, because after all, we're too proud to ask for help. Ow. It hurts. Jesus, in Matthew 11:28, said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But no, we want to prove to the world that we can do it without any help. That's why we need to live in community. Some of us think we don't need anybody, and we live lone lives. That's not God's intention for his church. Well, enough conviction on that side. Having said that, it's important to remember that our obedience to God is not just a matter of duty. There are other issues involved. In John 14:23, Jesus said this. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. See, he's telling us our obedience should come out of our love for him. Now, we don't need to get the idea that living the Christian life is all about rules and regulations. You know, the ones that Jesus got onto the most were people that liked to be obedient to the word, right? The Pharisees and Sadducees. They were relentless in pursuing acts of obedience to the law, to the letter, to the T. But they only became self-righteous. believing that doing all those religious acts made them deserve heaven, because they were, after all, following exactly the law. And yet, they were so far from the truth. And you know, I have found out as I was studying this that we tend to do the same thing with the Lord quite often when we're convicted. You know, the Holy Spirit drops something in us, you know, and he corrects us in an area, and we tend to get religious. You know, rather than admit and repent and say, God, give me the strength, we say, well, I'm going to do better. And we do like we do in New Year's time. We make resolutions that the day later we forgot even what we said that we were going to do. And that's the way we sort of bargain with the Lord, you know. Rather than listening to the conviction and just repenting, we say, okay, I'm going to do this better. And I'm going to do this from now on. And we start bargaining with the Lord rather than listening to him. We're still acting in our own strength. And we never really follow up because it wasn't from the heart. It was just, I got caught and I need to create some kind of a diversion so that the Lord really doesn't find out that I really like to do this thing. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 64 that without Christ, even our best commendable works are just as filthy rags to him. So doing things to impress the Lord doesn't impress him at all. In fact, it sort of throws a wet blanket on the whole situation. The Pharisees did all kinds of things to impress God, and yet their heart was not in it. They obeyed the letter of the law and yet missed the spirit or the intention of the law. And Jesus rebuked them harshly. He says, Matthew 23:37, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. That's a strong word. For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Those are very strong words. And yet I find myself many times trying to look that everything is fine when I know inside there's not a whole lot of good out there. I have not repented. I have not confessed. I have not come to the Lord. I got caught, and I am going to pretend that I didn't do that, because after all, I'm a Christian, right? And yet the Lord is saying, man, get rid of that. Get rid of that. Today, thank God, we're not called to obey the law of Moses as it was required in the Old Testament. You see, Jesus fulfilled the law himself in our behalf. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it, because you couldn't fulfill it, basically. So he did it for us so we can obtain the righteousness that only he could get, because we couldn't get it by obedience. And so when he came and did that, then he gave us a new commandment. The law of Christ, which is to love one another. And so in Romans 13:8, Paul said, owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. That's a great statement. I don't have to follow those rituals and those things that I tend to depend so often. See, the rituals are no more this outward thing to prove to God that I mean it. No. He's not looking at that. He's looking at your heart. And so, as I express the love of God in and through me to others, then God said, you are living the law yourself. You are fulfilling it. And therefore, you know, righteousness is imputed on you because you're choosing to walk in my ways. So the commandment of love is a very important one. And I know that it's big. And we, you know, it takes a lifetime to learn to love really like Christ loved. But we pursue it constantly. But to have knowledge of the commandments is not enough. In other words, you can make a study on how to love one another and dig up the scriptures and find out everything. But you're still slashing everybody else that comes around you. So to have knowledge of the commandment is not enough. In fact, John 13:17, Jesus say, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So having all this head information and not action that corresponds to it, it still avails nothing. So there is a knowing and a doing. And I think the less we know and the more we do that which we know would be more pleasing to God than having all kinds of knowledge about the Bible and not really walking in it. Now that may be impressive to the world that you can quote scripture and talk about relevant issues, but if you're not walking in it yourself, it just doesn't build any credit on your side. Obedience, as we have seen, is connected hand in hand with knowing God. 1 John addresses that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. John said, now this is the disciple that Jesus loved. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. Boy, that's a strong word. And the truth is not with him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. In other words, that who obeys the word. By this we know that we are in him. So this John is saying, you know, we are in Jesus not just because we know, but because we do. And we can know a whole lot and not do much, and that shows that we don't really know the Lord. Obedience in the word has many different rewards. Talk about a few of them here. God promises protection to those who obey him. We see that exemplified a lot in the Old Testament. You know, tribes would come after the Israelites, and the Lord would tell Israel, well, gather your musicians. And they would go, what? You know, I'd rather fight. And God said, no, just get your musicians ready. And they would be obedient, and God would do the fighting for them. Protect them. The obedience also brings provision. You know, one of the names that we studied not too long ago was Jehovah Jireh, our provider. When we obey him, he provides for all things. Elijah was told to go to the widow. There was a famine. He ministered to the widow. Cook me something. It was her last meal. She obeyed, and God brought enough provision for her, her son, and for Elijah, for the rest of the famine. Prosperity. When we're obedient to his principles, God prospers us. John said, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. It's God's will for us to prosper, and when we're obedient, he brings prosperity to us. Abundant life, temporal and eternal. In other words, we speak of abundant life. It's not in the hereafter. It's right here, right now. We're enjoying abundant life. My wife and I that doesn't mean that would be trial free. No, we're going to have trials as long as we're in his body. But that doesn't mean we don't have abundant life. We do enjoy the Lord, his life. We get peace when we're obedient. We can relax knowing, hey, I'm obeying the God of the universe. And so he's going to have my back. And so I can chill. I can be at peace. Freedom. Obedience brings freedom. And this is probably one of my strong points. I feel that when I am obedient, all the responsibilities for success I'm not responsible for. If I obey, then whatever else happens is not my fault. I did my part. And you know, God never fails. So there's freedom. We know we've done our part. And then that brings joy, obviously. You know, to know that you're obedient, that brings joy. You know that the enemy has no open door for him to come in. Oh, that's such a joy. And then fellowship and friendship with God. We become, when we're obedient to the Lord, we become partners in business with the Lord. You know, his business is to establish his kingdom from heaven to earth. And we are partners with him. And you know he's going to succeed. So we're partners. We're friends. We're co-workers. That's awesome. If we love God, we will obey him. I understand we won't be perfect in our obedience, but our desire would be to submit to the Lord and do what he asks whenever he asks. In addition, when we love and obey God, we will naturally develop a love for one another. You know, there are some people that are not very likable at times. But when we love God, we learn to put up with stuff. Yeah. And we get what my wife calls duck feathers. You know, water can be thrown and it just runs out our back. Oh, you're such an annoying person. That's okay, I'm sorry. Normally I would fight back and give a dirtier word. Now, I know you're hurting right now, I understand. I'm going to let that go by. I forgive you, my brother, my sister. Obedience to God's command will make us light and salt in a very dark and tasteless world that we live in. We all want to have a purpose. We want to make a difference in our world with our lives. Do you know what? God wants it for us more than we do. God wants us to have an impact in our lives as well, more than what we can want to. And when we are obedient to the one who holds our future together, we will accomplish some very meaningful things in our lives. And I think every one of us want those things in each one of our lives. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here that regularly. You remember Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he presented himself to his disciples. They were excited, but then there were a few days that Jesus didn't quite show up. And Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. You know, like, I'm going to go back to business now that Jesus rose from the dead. And some of the disciples, I guess, didn't have anything else to do. And they said, okay, we'll join you. We'll go fishing. They fished all night, didn't catch anything. In the morning, they were close to the shore, didn't catch a fish. Jesus was on the shore. Say, hey, guys, have you caught anything? They said, nah, been a dry night. He says, cast your net on the front of the boat. Probably John looked at them funny. Heard that before. So they did obey. They caught 150 fish. You know, net was full. John said, that's the Lord. So Peter, you know, puts on his garment, throws himself in the water, you know, his compulsive Peter. He gets to the shore. And these disciples come in dragging the net, you know, 150 fish. And Jesus had already a fire started in the shore. And he said, take some of those fish. Just come here. Just come and dine here. Let's have breakfast. And so they're excited. You know, Jesus again with them. They were wondering really what's happening here. And Peter, who denied him three times a couple of days before, you know, he's sort of convicted. You know, that picture, I think, is the guy to the most right. He's saying, I'm so ashamed. I denied Jesus three times. And then Jesus sort of takes him by the side. Said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Master, I love you. Then he gives a command. Feed my sheep. I didn't hear in the scripture that Jesus, that Peter said, yes, sir. No, he just took it. Said, probably that hurt him because he had denied him before. And the second time Jesus comes, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, you know I love you, even though I denied you back there three times. Feed my lambs. Another commandment. Peter, do you love me? Peter is grieved. I told you already that I love you. What else can I do to prove it? Jesus basically said, do what I'm telling you to do. Bet that touched Peter to the point that he decided never to disobey him again. You know, Jesus had warned him before, the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And he said, nah, I'm willing to die for you. And then failed miserably. Don't we do that? If you're here today and you find yourself that you know that the Lord has spoken to you, and you know that you have sort of developed a deaf ear to the Lord's personal word to you. If you know that the Holy Spirit has convicted you in some areas, and you are ignoring His warnings to you. If you are content where you are as a Christian, and sort of settling, that's it for me. But you know, you are aware that God wants you to grow more and change and go forward. Then maybe it's time for you to come to Jesus, to ask your forgiveness for ignoring Him when He spoke to you years ago, months ago, weeks ago. Come to Him. You know, He gave the story of the prodigal to give us an example. We all, in so many ways, we become prodigals at times. And the Holy Spirit is there trying to bring us to our senses. When that prodigal found himself, came to his senses, and I said, boy, what a fool I've been. I'm going back to my Father. The Father is calling on you, on the areas that you have failed Him. He doesn't want to condemn you. He wants to restore you. So if that's you, I'm going to say a prayer and just agree with me. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, forgive us for our disobedience and even for our reluctance and our rebellion at times. Help us, Lord, to realize that you are our ultimate authority and that you mean good for us. Lord, nothing that you give us is burdensome. Help us to be submitted to you. It's not a burden. It's a blessing to be obedient to you, Lord. Help us to acknowledge and change in our areas of disobedience. Open our eyes to see the beauty and the freedom that obedience brings to our life. and all the other benefits that you said that we receive when we are obedient to you. Lord, bring us back to home. Lord, that we may enjoy you putting back the cloak around us of sonship, that you put on a ring on us saying we belong to the family of God. And Lord, that we may rejoice to be back in the fellowship with you, Father, that brings the abundant life that we're all seeking for. Lord, I thank you for your people. I thank you for the conviction that you bring. And I pray, Father, that we would learn from our past and become compliant and obedient to the things that you command to us. I bless your people. I thank you, Lord, for these things as we ask. We thank you that you heard us and that you are answering our prayer. And we bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to further confess before the Lord, the altar is open. We'll gladly pray with you and agree with you with whatever. Be blessed. God bless you. Tomorrow night, remember at 6 o'clock, we're going to have intercession. So if you're open, please come and join us.